parshas that we're about to read are, of course, the parshas that introduce the Mishkan B'Kelov. Parshas Truma is focused on the Klei Mishkan, the vessels that were utilized in the context of the Avodah in the Mishkan or the Mikdash. The Torah actually uses the term Vasuli Mikdash, for Shachati B'Sochem, the obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then we have a series of Kelim that I mentioned. If you have a Chumash in front of you, you can see it in Perek Chav Ches, starting with Pasuk Yud. Also, Aron, I say Shitim, the Avod HaKodesh, is considered to be one of the Klei HaMishkan. And then we have a discussion about, as Rashi refers to, the three Aronos that Bezalel made. Two of them were crafted of gold, one of them is actually crafted of wood. We have the Tabos, we have the rings or the staves that are attached to the Aron HaKodesh. And then, after the description of the Aron HaKodesh, we have Pasuk Tezayah, where the Torah says, "V'nasat el ha'aron, esa edus asher ateni lecha." The Aron, of course, is primary function is to what? To house the Luchos Edus, to house the Torah, actually, which is considered to be a testimony between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and that's in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Tezayah. Then beyond that, we have the Kaparis. Of course, the function of the Kaparis is essentially a kisui of the Aron. It covers the Aron HaKodesh, and we have, probably well known to you and to most of us, the Kruvin. Very fascinating Dmuyot. Very fascinating, I'll call them personalities, if you don't mind my utilizing that expression. We have the Kruvin that are Persich and Afayim above the Kaparis, and then of course the Kaparis is placed on the Aron. And that's where Hashem, in effect, is going to communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu. Subsequently, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we have the description of the Shulchan. And, of course, the Shulchan is primarily known to be that which is going to house the Lechem Aponim. Rashi has a long discussion on Pasuk Chaf Tes about the Lechem Aponim and the different accoutrements of the Shulchan that are obviously relevant. Beyond that, we have the Menorah, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, again, among the Klei Mishkan that are very well known, and all the different elements of the menorah. So these are the primary items, the primary kelim that are associated with the Mishkan that are found, as I said, in Parshas Truma. Then in Perek Chafei, the Torah goes on to describe the, I guess we'll call it the chassis of the Mishkan, the overall structure of the Mishkan. Namely, the Mishkan is described as being constituted of yerios, of curtains, and then you have many other individual items, the crushim and the crossim. I'm not going to go into details regarding that. And then at the end of the Pasha, in Perek of Zayin, the Torah speaks of the Mizbeach. Yasisa sa Mizbeach Hatzei Shitim. And you are aware that there are different types of Mizbechos. And then we have the Chatzar Mishkan at the end of the Pasha. That's the Pasha's Truma. Tetzaveh, of course, has in it the focus of Tetzaveh is what? Not the Klei Mishkan, but rather Big Dekona. The begodim that are worn by the Kohanim, the vestments that are worn by the Kohanim are primarily mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh. So these are the two parshas of Truma Tetzaveh. In between you have Kisisa, which is primarily and preeminently known for, unfortunately, one of the tragedies that Klal Yisrael, one of the Chatoim that we committed, namely the Chet HaEgel. That's really the central feature of Parshat Kisisa. We also have in there Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara has a few places that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by Hashem Yud Gimel Ikrim in order to achieve a kapara. And Vayakal Pekudei, we have once again a review of the two parshas here of Truma Tetzaveh. You're familiar with that overall structure. So now I want to focus a little bit on Parshas Truma, and more specifically on one of the kelim that the Ramban here spends a fair amount of time discussing. Maybe I'll begin by pointing out that you'll take a look and you'll see that the only kli where the Torah uses the Lashon Ravim, first the Torah begins by saying, Vasul di Migdash, Roshachandi di Socha. And you're probably familiar with the Machlokes of Rishonim, Rashi and Ramban, Ibn Ezra. This is a well-known discussion, whether we apply here the principle of Ein Mukdam u'Me'uchar v'Torah. Whose Shita is that? That there's no chronological order in the Torah.
Rashi.
There's the Shita of Rashi. And this Shita of Rashi is also the Shita of Ibn Ezra, and it's heavily contested by the Ramban. Heavily. Ramban contends you can't just simply invoke this principle arbitrarily, indiscriminately, but rather only if there's a compelling reason to do so. And the reason why this is relevant over here is because The Midrashim, and I actually Xeroxed a number of them, but the Midrashim have a very fascinating discussion with reference to this matter. It's quoted Kimat by all the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Ramban, and the Daskin of Aliatesis, and the Svarno. And the issue, of course, is a very simple issue. When we speak about the Mishkan, Rasul Migdash Roshachandi B'Socham, when exactly was this command given? I'm asking chronologically. When was this command given? It seems that the Torah here has this command when? Following upon the heels of what Pasha? Yisro and Mishpatim. Yisro and Mishpatim, as you know, are two Pashas. Both of them deal with Matan Torah. Yisro, of course, is classic Matan Torah. But Mishpatim also has elements of Matan Torah, namely the end of Mishpatim. Machlok is between 2 days in the Mechilta, Machlok is Tanoim, Machlok is Rashi and Ramban, but the last Pasha of Mishpatim occurred before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. The Gemara increases, if I'm familiar with it. The Gemara said, Mishol Shedvarim, Nichnasu Yisrael the Bris, that we became part of the Bris of Sinai. The Gemara says, Bemilo, Tzvilo, Vartzah, Zdomim. Those are the three things that are required in order to become part of the Bris. But the reason why I mention this is because Matan Torah is divided into two. It's Yisro and Mishpatim. The end of Mishpatim. In between, we have a body of laws that deal with, of course, Mishpatim. Clearly, that indicates that is necessary somehow, almost a prerequisite in order to have Matan Torah. But that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in when was this parasha said, namely, Perach Hafei Pasuk Ches. Vasil Ni Migdash V'Shachani B'Sofam. So right away, the Das Kedem Alei Tesis writes here on the spot that this parasha was said, B'Toch Arboim Yom from Matan Torah. And this is also mentioned by others. The Ramban writes in Vayakel, if I'm not mistaken, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, so the Ramban says that's when Hashem told him about the Mishkan. And apparently, according to the way the Sukkim seem to read, correct, this happened before what Chet? Before the Chet Ha'egel, correct? The order is that we just mentioned. Tuma, Tetzaveh, Kisis of the Chet Ha'egel, and then Vayakel B'Kudeh. So prior to the Shriya Saluchos, prior to the breaking of the Luchos, we have the command, V'yosel L'migdash, V'shachan L'besocha. And the Ramban writes at the beginning of Vayakel, it's in Paraklav Hei Pasagal. Then the Ramban mentions it very clearly. This is the Seder Hadvar. Means the Ramban understands this, that this parasha was written the Fiyas Seder. Correct? Again, let me just point out to you, the other Chumash is going to be easier. The end of Mishpatim. Look at the end of Mishpatim for a moment. The Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu was told. I'm reading Perek Chavdal Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayom Hashem Moshe Alei Elai Hahara VeYisham. He should ascend the mountain. Ve'et Nalacha Zluchos Se'emem Matorah VaMitzvah Asher Kasavti Lo Rosam. Correct? Hashem tells Moshe to ascend the mount. And I mentioned to you just a second ago that this is the subject of Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Tanoim, Machlokes Rashi Ramban. This is before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, but certainly it's in the context of Matan Torah. And then after that, in Parsha Truma, we have the Parsha of Asuli Migdash Shachati B'Sofa. Means according to the Ramban, and according to Bali Atesis, and according to many Rishonim and Midrashim, the Parsha is written with the Aseder, correct? We don't apply the principle of a mukdam, a mukhabat Torah. There's no reason to apply it. Everything seems to be in the order the Torah presents it. Shitas Rashi. Look in Rashi and Kisisa. If you have a Rashi, it's a very famous Rashi that you have to be familiar with. Rashi is in Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches. Verse 18. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudches. Vayitena Moshe, ki chalos l'daveri tov ahar sinai shnei luchos ha'edus. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed his ascent to Har Sinai, Hashem gives him the Luchos Ha'edus, and Rashi comments over here, Rashi tells you the chronology of events. Then when was the Tzivui and the Maaseh HaMishkan told to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rashi, after Yom Kippur, when the Chet Ha'egel was Nimchal, when Moshe Rabbeinu received through Hashem Yisbarach expiation, namely Kapara for the sin of the Chet Ha'egel, and Rashi comments over there, he says in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches, very explicitly, a mukdam umucha batara. And Rashi tells you, my son Ego, kodem letzivu melachas hamishkan yomim rabim hoya. And Rashi has the entire cheshbon. Rashi tells you that what came first, the Chet Ha'egel. Chayv Egel preceded the Tzibui that's found in this week's parsha on the Lachas HaMishkan. I have actually Midrashim in front of me, but Rashi gives you the calculation. When were the Luchos broken? Yudzayim Metabos. When did Hashem forgive? When did He forgive Klal Yisrael? Yom Kippur. Correct. And then the next day they began Benidras HaMishkan, Echa Benisan. It's actually a Medrash Tanchuma. I have a lot of Midrashim in front of me that Rashi actually is clearly based on. And then according to Rashi, we have to assume that what principle is operative over here? Ein Mukdam U'Meucha Matarah. So we have a fundamental machloket between Rashi, who applies this principle. We don't follow the Seder of the Torah. The Seder of the Torah is not as it's presented, correct? But rather, what comes first? The Parsha of the Cheder Ego, which is in Kisisa, and that precedes the Tzivoy of Malachas HaMishnah, which is found here in Parsha Truma. And the Ramban disagrees. By the way, this Yisod is not just Rashi's Yisod, it's also found in the Sforno. The Sforno, for example, since I see Yisod, you like the Sforno, Baruch Hashem, Perach Abdal Pasuk Yudches, you'll see the Sforno. And he also writes it again in Shmini. I actually, for myself, I just Xerox the places where the Sforno mentions it. He mentions it in Perach Abdal Pasuk Yudches. He writes that, Nitztavu B'mleches HaMishkan Achash in Iskabalem Avonu Egel, that after the Cheta Egel, after the Kapar, the Cheta Egel, that's when we were told to go ahead and construct the Mishkan. And again, the Sforno repeats this idea in Vashashmini. Notes his assumption is that the Mishkan was only required upon the heels of the Cheder Egel. The Cheder Egel somehow was so heinous in nature. What was the Cheder Egel? What was the Chet exactly? How do you understand the Chet over there? I'm sure you understand. How does Rashi understand it? Rashi said there were three cardinal sins that were violated, and they are? Excellent. You see, you know the answer. So why are you not revealing it to me? So Rashi says that there were three cardinal sins, three heinous crimes that were committed. That's what Rashi learns. Where's the Avodah Zarah? The Egel's Avodah Zarah. What about Gila Arayis? Vayachum Tzachek. That's what Rashi learns. And Rashi has a mocker, and there's Makaris in Tanakh actually for this Rashi, and Midrashim and Chazal. And what about Shrikh Zaman, whom they kill? Hur. That's what Rashi says. Rashi Kedarko, but Rashi understands the Cheder Egel as being, as I just said now, three cardinal sins were violated. 98% of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. Why do I say 98 as opposed to 97?
The Ramban.
The Ramban. Rav Tzadi Gaon. Rav Yehuda Halevi. You name it, all the Rishonim are cholek at Rashi. I'm not getting to Cheder Egel right now. I'm just telling you a preview of forthcoming events. Whatever the case is, Shitas Rashi is, as I said, a very famous Shita, and the Sforno as well, and it's a very fundamental machlokes, whether we apply here the principle of Emukta Mavucha Batorah with reference to this matter. Okay, I decided to be makdim by referring to this machlokes because it's one that we're going to have recourse to in this Hashem in the future, and so I think you should be aware of it. That's not the subject of discussion today. The subject of discussion today is about Parshas Truma, specifically, and maybe I'll just mention one other matter which I think is also critical, which I assume you're familiar with, because it's probably the most famous Ramban in Chumash, according to my humble opinion, one of the most famous Rambans in Chumash. They're all famous, but this one is absolutely a sine qua non from the saying of Ramban. Ramban, how does he see the function of the Mishkan? What is the Mishkan according to the Ramban? The answer is the Mishkan is a hemshech of Maimon Har Sinai. The Ramban had a problem. Maimon Har Sinai was a one-time experience, and it was obviously a very unbelievable event, what the rabbi would call a numinous event. Certainly it was that. Certainly it was also luminous. It was both luminous and numinous. Whatever the case is, Maimon Har Sinai was an astounding event. It had a massive impact. L'dori doros, l'netzach. But now, how do we continue this? How do we continue the experience of Maimon Har Sinai? So, of course, what's the answer? How do we continue the experience of Maimon Har Sinai? Through what instrumentality?
Limud HaTorah.
Limud HaTorah. You are asking, I see. Baruch Hashem. Limud HaTorah is essentially every Limud HaTorah experience is the experience of Maimon Har Sinai. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often commented, it's based on Yerushalmi and Brachas, so I assume you probably got to that by now. You finished the Babli and Brachas, now you have Yerushalmi. So there's a Hakdama, there's a beautiful Sefer called Binyan Eilam. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of the Sefer, because the author, his name is Abchaim Zimmerman, Zechasang the Bracha. He was an Ilu Yotzum, And he actually, at one point, he was a Shiva in Skokie in Chicago for a short period of time, very short. And then he also had a connection to the Soloveitchik family. He sat in the old Beit Medrash, Yeshivas HaBnei Yisrael Chanan, on the steps. That's where his, shall we say, Makom Limud was, leading to the Aron Kodesh. He himself was an Aron Kodesh. He himself was a, literally, a blazing Har Sinai, an inferno of Torah. Anyway, so he wrote a Perush on the Yerushalmi when he was about 18, 19 years old. Anyway, so he has in Nagdoma to the Sefer Binyan Eilam, which is found in the back of the Beis Medrash, he points out the following. Our Soloveitchik was very fond of this Shtickle Torah. Do you stand for Kriyas HaTorah? What is the meaning in your shul? I was just there. That's it. There are individuals who stand.
Yes.
Yechidim, but most people sit, which is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. There is, however, a Psak of Rav Rutenberg. He holds you have to stand. Why? So our Soloveitchik said, it really depends what the nature of Kriyas HaTorah is. Is Kriyas HaTorah simply an action of Talmud Torah B'tzibur, that we're learning Torah publicly? So what's the deal? When you learn Talmud Torah, what are we doing now? I believe we're involved in Talmud Torah, I hope. And we're sitting, correct? But the Gemara says in Megillah. Oh, Megillah. Who's learning Megillah? Yeah, a lot of people are learning Megillah. You finished it. What does the Gemara say in Megillah regarding this matter of Yeshiva and Amida regarding Talmud Torah?
They used to stand.
They used to stand, exactly. And based on what pasuk?
Moshe would stand.
Excellent, beautiful. Gamliel died, the Gemara said people became weak and they started sitting. Is there a chiyuv to stand for Limud HaTorah? No. However, it could be that Maamar HaSinai is not just Limud HaTorah B'tzibur, but what is Maamar HaSinai? Is a re-experiencing, or every, shall we say, Limud HaTorah, or Kriyas HaTorah, is a re-experiencing of Maamar HaSinai. And how is Maamar HaSinai? How did it take place? You have Gemara's in Brachas, you probably have those singers as well. Behema, Beira, Berisais, Bezeah, it was a Klal Yisrael, what were we doing? We were
in
trepidation. We were quivering. He says, schwitzing. It wasn't the sauna over there. But anyway, the... okay, good. So, as a result of that, the Rosh said, that's what it's totally on. If you hold, you're re-experiencing Maamar HaSinai, then of course it requires Banida. That's what he writes in Nagdama, to be an Olam, Rav Chaim Zimmerman, Zechazag de Rocha, when he was at the 18, 19 years old, he wrote the Sefer. Mashenken, if it's simply Kriyas HaTorah, it's simply a Limud HaTorah, but Sefer experience doesn't require, obviously, Amida. Okay, I say all this because of the Ramban. Take a look at the now the Kalim of the Mishkan that I mentioned over here. Notice the language of the Torah. When it comes to all the Kalim, let's start with, let's say, we'll skip the Aron for a moment. The first Kli that's mentioned is Aron HaKodesh, which of course the Ramban writes, what does that show you? That Kli is the most significant, most important Kli that's mentioned here among the Rishima of Kalim. But let's take a look at the other ones. Let's look at Perach HaPei, Pasuk Yizayin. The Torah says, V'asisa Kaporah Zav Tor, correct? Who is being instructed to make the Kaporah here? Who is Hashem talking to?
Moshe
Rabbeinu, thank you. Let's take a look at the next one after the Kaporah. Shulchan, Chav Gimel. V'yasisa Shulchan Aseh Shitin. Who is being instructed again? Moshe Rabbeinu. I continue. Notice the Kesedir, it says V'yasisa. You can take my word for it. The Menorah, Pesach Laman Al, V'yasisa Menorah Zav Tor. There's one exception to this Lashon Yochid, and which is? V'aron HaKodesh, Pasuk Ches. Perach HaPei, Pasuk Ches, what does it say? V'asu li migdash v'shachan li b'solcham, Lashon Rabim, and Pasuk Yud, V'asu Aron HaSeh Shitim. Why? I'm sure you are bothered by the question. Why? Why is Aron Lashon Rabim? And all the other Kelim are Lashon Yochid. So what's the answer? So the Ramban discusses it, but before you speculate, take a look at the Ramban, you don't have a Ramban, so how can you look at it? Okay, but the Ramban writes here, based on the Medrash, and the Medrash points out, and the Rabban is essentially citing this Medrash, Yavo Hakol V'yisasku Baron. Let all of Klal Yisrael come, and be Osik of the Aron Kodesh, Sheyisku La Torah. Mashma, as Jonathan alluded to a second ago, Jonathan said, V'yosisa refers to Bezalel. Bezalel himself was involved in the construction of all the other Kelim, namely the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Kaporis, the Chulu, the Chulu. Mashenken, the Aron HaKodesh, who's involved in the construction of the Aron HaKodesh? All of Klal Yisrael, it's a, shall we say, something which is the entire Tzibur is involved in the construction of the Aron HaKodesh. And this is based actually, Ramban, actually, Zirak Samidrashim. This is found, even though, by the way, there's a bit of a kasha on this. You probably are familiar with this, Jonathan. He's my Rebbe Muvak. He's going to become my Rebbe Muvak very shortly. But here in the Bayakel, Do you recall the passing of Vayakel? I'm asking you a kashya, if you don't mind. I asked you a question that that's what you just said, and I just articulated it for you, Jonathan. But in Vayakel, there's a passage that seems to be not in sync with what you just said. Namely, when the Torah there speaks about the Aron HaKodesh, I told you in Vayakel Begudei, what do we have there? A review of Truma Tzadik. So take a look a bit more carefully over there. And there it mentions in the passage in Vayakel, I think it's in Perek Lamed Zayin, that's where it, maybe it's in the end of Vayakel. Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph, here it is, still there. Vayas Betzalel Aharon HaSeishitim. Is that not a question to your hypotheses? Or to the Ramban's hypotheses? We just said till now that all the kelim were made by whom? By Betzalel, the exception of Aharon Kodesh, that Klal Yisrael is involved in it. Here I have a passage that says otherwise. Vayas Betzalel Aharon HaSeishitim. So the Ramban is bothered by this kasha. Trust me, the man didn't miss anything. Zero. That's why you got to learn the Ramban on the Torah. Every single Ramban bid by konus, with down to the minutia detail. So the Ramban suggests that the Asik Bara means that everyone is going to be misnadev, everyone will donate, will contribute one Kli Zohar, or everyone will, shall we say, will help Bezalel, or the Havkavono. Now, basically, the way the Ramban understands this pasuk, they asked Bezalel, he made the tzur of the kli. However, everyone also was mishtatim in the asiyas ha'ara. That's how the Ramban resolves this contradiction between the two, shall we say, the two psukim, and the one mentioned here and the one mentioned later on in parshas Vayakel. Whatever the case is, what one sees here, and the Ramban is the one who spells this out very clearly, the most central kli in the entire Mishkan was which kli? Aron HaKodesh. That is really the featured kli, the most prominent kli, and the truth of the matter is, the Aron HaKodesh, and I want to show you something else, the Diuk of Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, you want to see the, well, I don't, he doesn't need my imprimatur, the colossal individual that the Rav was. The Aron HaKodesh had one primary function. What is that? To house the Luchos HaEdus, a repository of the Luchos HaEdus. What do we call it? Eilef Fekudei HaEdus. Correct. Eilef Fekudei HaMishkan. Mishkan HaEdus. Beginning of Fekudei, Pashas Fekudei. Eilef Fekudei HaEdus. Mishkan Eilef Fekudei HaMishkan. Mishkan HaEdus. Asher Pukal Afi Moshe. Correct. It's called Mishkan HaEdus. It's a repository for the Luchos, for the Torah. So let me just note to you something which, of course, you are very familiar with. I'm not telling you anything new, Shem. And that is, the Beis Halevi is the one who really, at great length, spells this out, that even though the Aron HaKodesh is the clue that the Luchos are put in, Talmud Chacham is actually likened to the Klaf of Torah Shebaal Peh. Talmud Chacham himself is literally a Chetzah Shel Torah. We have Rabbeim in this yeshiva. Harav Reichman Shlita. Chetzah Shel Torah! He himself is a Chetzah Shel Torah. Would you not agree with that, Jonathan? Moreno Rabbeinu, Harav Akshi. I already gave him Smicha, so what else do I do now? Basically, a Talmud Chacham essentially is almost, if you will, a kind of Kumas, a kind of Chetzah, a Sefer Torah. The Beis Halevi is the one who spelled this out a great length, but it's not just his Chiddush, it's mentioned by many. Okay, so now I'm just, based now on this introduction, now I'll begin to discuss the matter. And the Ramban, as I said, I'm going to use the Ramban extensively. I actually xeroxed here a Gemara, which is found twice in Shas. The Gemara in Kedushin and the Gemara in Makkos. I read the two Gemaras are very similar, but I feel it's important to mention that. Omar Rava. Rava speaks about Kama Tipshoi, how foolish are people. The Kami Mikami Sefer Torah, the Kami Mikami Gavra Rava. They get up and they stand in the presence of what? Of a Sefer Torah. Is there a chiyuv to get up in the presence of a Sefer Torah? That's in transit? That's moving? Yes. That's the Gemara Kedushin. Ah, you're learning brachas. Okay, brachas is also part of Shas. So you remember the Gemara Kedushin? The Gemara Kedushin speaks about Hani Babli Tipshoi, these foolish Babylonians. And the Gemara said they get up for a Sefer Torah and they don't get up for a Gavra Rabba. For a Talmud Chacham, it's a Gavra Rabba himself is a Sefer Torah. That's Pasha. A Gavra Rabba is a Sefer Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore once you get up for him, there's a famous Beis Halevi in the, I think it's the 19th Lashon of the Beis Halevi. I could be wrong, but I suspect that I'm not. because I read this drasha many, many times. I'm very fond of this drasha, the Beis Halevi. There he writes that initially the Torah was actually Ramos and the Luchos, because we are Mekayim the Torah and the Torah is in the Luchos. But then subsequently, what happened? Of course, the person himself is obligated kasim aluach libecha to write the Torah on the Luchos of your heart. You have the Torah in the Luchos of your heart. Baruch Hashem, you're also a Kayin. Obviously, you have every mile in the world. And it's just like a clap of the Seva Torah becomes, shall we say, Tashmish Kedusha. What's the difference between Tashmish Kedusha and Tashmish Mitzvah?
Nignozim or Nizrokim?
That's right. One Tashmish Kedusha and Nignozim and Tashmish Mitzvah and Nizrokim. For example, Lulav and Esau, you can actually go ahead and discard them. You have to do so with Tzuah Mechubedet, but you can discard them. Mashenke Tashmish Kedusha, obviously, you're not allowed to go ahead and discard them, Chas V'Sholom. And so, Talmud Chacham himself is a Tashmish Kedusha. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal once commented, wow. He once said that a Jew is Tashmish Kedusha and a non-Jew, a guy, is Tashmish Mitzvah. Why? Because he's only Mechulim and Shem Mitzvah Neidach. While a Jew is Mechulim 630 Mitzvah, mainly he's Tashmish Kedusha. And the Gemara said it's ahead, the Gemara has a whole discussion regarding Kvura. Is there a Chiyav of Kvura regarding, shall we say, a guy? The Pasuk says a Chumash, you remember that Pasuk. The Torah says, we hang him up in a tree. So the Rabban writes on the spot that in Eretz Yisrael there's a din. For example, you know Yeshua. How many kings, shall we say, did Yeshua eliminate? How many?
31.
Correct. And then what did he do? They were hung up. And then, after they were hung up, they went and buried them the same day. Why? Because this pasuk. Because the halacha is loisetami esad moscha she Hashem elokecha. But beika adin, there's no din of kvura for tashmishe mitzvah. Because the din Gemara said tashmishe mitzvah nizrokin, tashmishe kedusha nigozim, require kvura. That's halacha. And a Jew, every Jew is tashmishe kedusha when mechuyim 630 mitzvahs. A non-Jew, a guy is only mechuyim in 7 mitzvahs, shem mitzvahs. They're not. There's no obligation of geniza kvura. But only halacha that is rabbi, except in Eretz Yisrael, not in Hatem Tam Eretz Yisrael, Los Tamis Ad Moscha. That's what halacha Kvura also applies to a goy. Okay, but coming back to our issue, and that is the issue of the Ramban here. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Namely, the Arad HaKodesh is obviously the most central kli in this Mishkan. The also the Migdash Shachanti B'Sochan. The idea, of course, is to have Ashuras Hashrina. Now, I want to mention to you a famous Shtikl Torah, which is actually, I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik a number of times, but it's a brisk shtickle. That's what Rabbi Reichman will tell you. You want to get a shtick brisk. I've told you many times. Did the Torah exist prior to brisk?
No.
No? Fairly obvious. Before Rav Chaim appeared, one day we're learning Yerodea, and Rav Soloveitchik is reading a Shach in Yerodea. And he says, I can't believe it. The Shach says what the Chaim says. But how is it possible? It's before Brisk. He was joking. Half joking. So there's a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes about the Beis HaBchira. The Rambam says that there's an obligation to build the Beis HaBchira. Namely, Rasul Migdash. There's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMigdash, correct? And that's what the Pasuk says here in Truma. The Rambam quotes that pasuk, and the Rambam tells you what's included under that pasuk: all kinds of kelim, such as menorah, shulchan, mizbeach. Correct? That's also subsumed under this rubric of asul limigdash shachadu b'soichan. So the shita of Rambam is that these are all part of the chelkei amigdash. All the klei amishkan that I mentioned in Truma are part of the amigdash, part of the mitzvah of asul limigdash, and this is found. The Rambam actually, when he quotes this in Mishnah Torah, that's in Sefer Mitzvah. I think it's a Mitzvah Chof. I'm not mistaken. That's a Mitzvah Chof. The Rambam has in Sefer Mitzvah. However, in Mishnah Torah itself, when the Rambam quotes these dinim, where does he bring them? Where should he have brought them? Well, the dinim regarding Klei HaMikdash. He should have brought them in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. Where does he bring them? Not in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, but in Hilchas Beis HaBchira. That's striking. Why the Rambam called these halachas of Klei HaMikdash, not in Klei HaMikdash, but in Hilchos Beis HaBchira? So what do you see? That apparently, the construction of the Klei HaMikdash are considered to be an integral part of what? Of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaBchira, the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ineluctable conclusion, Jonathan, that one must derive from the positioning of the Rambam, the way he positioned these halachas, and the Rambam, as I said, mentions this as well, and this is also a well-known name of the Risk of, and the name of Soloveitchik, etc. However, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, the Sefer HaMitzvos, disagrees with the Rambam, and he argues that the Kelim are not considered to be a chelek of the mitzvah of Osul Migdash or Shachadi B'Sofon. They are two separate, shall we say, independent, autonomous obligations. One is to build the Beis HaMikdash, Osul Migdash, and then the other, of course, is to do what? To go ahead and construct the Kelim. And never the twain shall meet. That is the contention of the Ramban. And they're not mocking each other. And the rayas, the Ramban, one of the rayas he brings is that you're probably familiar with this issue. Gemara's and Machlokes about it. Makrivin ava b'shem b'bayis. There's a day that you can be makriv kavanos even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. How do you do that? How do you go about doing it? No, before I get to that issue of Kedusha Rishonah and Kedusha Shniyah, which is all over Shas, also Megillah, and Zvachim, a few other places. But anyway, that before I get to that, Makriv not be shem b'bayis. You can be makriv kavanos even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Bring me a raya. We just discussed it in the last half hour. A raya that makriv not be shem b'bayis. My rabbi Rav Nissim Abel Zatzal brought a simple raya. I told you that really the Pasha Mizbeach, which is found at the end of Mishpatim, where does that Pasha really belong? According to what we discussed till now. Where does it belong? Look for your look.
It belongs
to the Klei HaMishkan. In what Pasha? Correct. What's it doing in Mishpatim? Prior to the mitzvah of Asa L'Nigdash Shahana Mishaychah. So what do you see? A riot to this day on the Gemara, Makrim, Mishim HaBayis. You can be Makrim Kavaros, even though it's HaMikdash, V'Arai, Yavim Mizbeach. That's all you require, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's the Raya of the Ramban. Anyway, according to the Ramban, there are two separate mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah to go ahead and construct the Beis HaMikdash, and the other is a mitzvah to go ahead and construct the Kelim. You see, these are two separate mitzvahs. The famous Machlokes, the Rambam Ramban, which is the subject of a lot of discussion among the, as I said, Dolei HaRishonim, and this is especially, as I said, in Brisk. Now, Rav Soloveitchik quoted from his father a very, very fascinating raya, which I am very disbelieved from. You take a look at the end of Sefer Shmos. Look at the end of Sefer Shmos for those who have a chumash in front of them. The Torah then describes the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu carried out all of the tzivuyim of Hashem Yisbarach. And what's very, very fascinating is that, again, each of the kelim of the Mishkan I told you has a specific function that we know. Take a look for a moment. Look at the end of Pekuda. You have in Perek Men. Perek Men, Pasuk Yizayim. I'll start over there. Is that alright? Vayiv HaChodesh HaRishon Vashon HaShin V'echal HaChodesh Shukam HaMishkan Moshe Rabbeinu established the Mishkan of Pasuk Yitches. Pasuk Yitches Vayiv HaSos HaOel Al HaMishkan. He obviously put the Mikseh HaOel, the cover. And then I'll read Pasuk Chof. Vayikach Vayitem Zahidus Al Aron Vayosam Zabadim Al Aron. What did he do? He places the Eidus El Aron, and then he puts the badim, the badim Aron, are the staves, or the, what do you call them, the poles. Vayitin as a kaporas olam mevara, vayavis Aron ala mishkan, and then the Aron is brought to the mishkan and positioned in the right place. I continue, pascha beis. Vayitin as a shulchan b'ol moed, the shulchan is positioned, and then after it's positioned, vayarach olam erach lechem. What does he put on it? Lechem upon him. Next, pascha abdal. Vayosim as a menorah b'ol moed, the menorah is positioned, and then what happens? Vayal on eros. Then of course you light the candelabra, the menorah. Next, Chabot. Vayosef Mizbech Azov. The Mizbech Azov is positioned. And then, Pasuk of Zayin, Vayak Yolav Karasamin. Undoubtedly, you have noticed that there's a fundamental distinction between all these Kelim and the Aron HaKodesh. What's the distinction that the Torah has clearly drawn? Please look carefully.
There's no specific Asiya that Moshe does? Like no. Menorah.
That is not what I'm referring to, but I'll maybe... Perhaps I'll just tell you and this make life easier for us. Namely, notice with all the other Klei HaMishkan, first the Kli is positioned. And then, after the Kli is positioned, the particular task or the particular function of that Kli is then implemented. Namely, look at Chav Beis. Vayitin es HaShulchan is placed, and then the Lachem HaPanim is put on it. Chav Dalet, the menorah is placed, and then Vayal HaNeros. Chav Vav, the Mizbech HaZov is placed, and the Torah Sabbath is often on it. And on and on and on. What happened with reference to the Aron?
Put in the Bagim.
First, the Luchos HaEdus are put into the Aron. And only then is there our position. Why? Why? Excellent. The answer is, said Moshe Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik's father, that there's a fundamental distinction between the Aron and all the other Kalim. All the other Kalim have a Shem Kli, or as Rabbi Reichman would say, a Chaloi Shem Kli, even without its particular function. The menorah is called the menorah, the shulchan is the shulchan, the kaparas is the kaparas, v'chula v'chula. The Aron HaKodesh is not midin klei hamikdash. The Aron HaKodesh is a seven halacha. The Aron HaKodesh only, shall we say, is deemed an Aron HaKodesh if it has what inside? The Luchos Ha'edus. Without the Luchos Ha'edus, there's no Aron HaKodesh. It's simply a box, a pine box. Three boxes, two zav, 1/8. Without the Luchos Ha'edus, it has no Chaloshem. And therefore, the Aron HaKodesh is set apart from all the Kalim. It's not considered to be one of the Klei HaMikdash. The whole entire intent of the Aron HaKodesh is because of the Luchos. When there's no Luchos, there's no need for an Aron. And that's why, for example, in Parshas Ekev, if you recall, Moshe Rabbeinu there, when he makes the construction of Aron Eitz, you're familiar with that Parsha in Ekev? There's a sefer called Dvarim, and one of the parshas in it is called Ekev. I assume you've encountered it more than once. That is found there as well, but that's not the pasuk I'm referring to now. That's not the only pasuk in Ekev, with all due respect. There are a few other pasuk there. And one of them, the Torah mentions in pasuk Perak Yud, pasuk Gal, Ba'esei Yom HaShem Elayi, Psalach HaShtei Luchas, Avonu Karishenim, V'yasi Tzolcha Aron Eitz. And that Aron Eitz was purely for one function, and that is, of course, because of the Luchas. Had none to do Klei HaMikdash. No connection to Klei HaMikdash. That's a raya to this Yisod, the Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, that the Aron is not one of the Klei HaMikdash. It's a separate day, and a completely independent halacha. The Luchas require an Aron, and therefore, that's why we have back here in Truma, the Osir Aron HaTzei Shittim, as you know, that I assume you are familiar with this, that in Bayi Sheni, of course, there was no Aron. The Gemara discusses it. It's also a Mishnah in Shkolim, the famous Mishnah, Isaiah's Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Perek Vov, Mishnayos of Shkolim. By the way, it's Kedai to learn Mishnayos. I assume you do that. Who here learns Mishnayos? Excellent. Baruch Hashem, Ashrecha, Ashrecha. Everyone should learn Mishnayos, really. Very, very significant. Two Mishnayos a day. Thank you. I don't know what the marker for that is, but anyway, it sounds very good. There's a Mishnah in Shkolim. Meister B'Koyin Echad Shoyim Misasek. There was a Koyin, apparently, who was handling. What was he doing?
What is handling?
That's Rabbi Goldschmidt's favorite word. He has several favorite words. Handling. No, you could handle learning also. But he was handling in other things. V'ra'as ha-mitzvah, he saw on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash that one area was apparently slightly different than the rest of the other tiles, so to speak. Bobi Yomel HaChavero, he decided to reveal it to his friend. Because in Bayi Sheni there was no Aron. They knew the Aron was Nigdas. They didn't know where it was. So this guy sees that something awry with the floor. He again told his fellow Kohen, though he speak Nigmar Adama Chiyasa Nishmaso. They realized that's where the Aron was. He discovered the whereabouts of the Aron, but they didn't want it to be revealed. And so, guess what? He left the scene very quickly. Shall we say, he was removed from on high. Anyway, the Gemara actually, and the Rambam, and points out, and just to mention this, that the Aron HaKodesh, that I'm just noting to you, is obviously of a totally and completely separate nature, and that's really the topic I wanted to talk about today. This is all an introduction, a little introduction to the issue, that you should have a general background to what we are about to discuss. So I want to mention, I didn't realize what time it is, of course, as usual. I want to mention, firstly, the following, which I think is also a fundamental yesod that you have to be aware of. Now, a few moments ago, I pointed out to you that the Ramban here says that the whole idea of the Mishkan was essentially an extension of Maimon HaSinai. Ramban is very fascinating because he points out that if you examine the Lashonos that were found in Har Sinai and the Lashonos that are found by the Mishkan, they're very similar. What was the most important principle of Har Sinai that you probably could articulate for me in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yutesh? You see it very clearly. Moshe Rabbeinu constantly tells the people, and he's told by Hashem, "What should you do? The area should be demarcated." It was divided into three machanos. What are the three machanos? Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya, Machane Yisrael. What about the Mishkan, the Mikdash? Also, similar kind of demarcation. So basically what you have is Kedushas Mechitzas. That's what's called in Halacha, in Halachic parlance. We call it Kedushas Mechitzas, correct? There's a certain Kedusha and the Halachas that apply to Machane Leviya, that don't apply to Machane Yisrael, and don't apply to Machane Shechina. You're aware of that. If you learn Mishnayos, you become even more aware of it. So that's Kedai to do. Anyway, as Ramban says, the tachlis of the Mishkan was to be mamshich the Ashuas Hashchina that was in Maimon HaSinai, and the Ikar Maimon HaSinai, of course, is Matan Torah. And therefore, what is the Ikar of the Beis HaMikdash? Clearly, the Aron with the Luchos. And the Ramban shows not only is it conceptually parallel, but also terminologically as well. Many, many parallels. This requires a doctoral thesis. When do you plan on writing this, Yisrael?
It'll be a little while.
Okay. And it's Hashem. As they say, lat. I'm sure you'll be writing it very soon. So even though in Bais Shemi, the Aron, as I said, was missing with the Luchos, the Gemara Yuma Chafalev, but the Gemara Zemachok is Tanoim. What happened to the Aron? Did the Aron go to Babel? Did it go to Golus? Or was Nigdas bin Kombo? And the Rambam has a very famous statement in the beginning of Perek Dalet, Beis Avchira. There the Rambam writes over there, he tells you that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was going to ultimately be Nechrab. He knew it was going to be destroyed. So what did he do? He built a place, the Rambam says, Bin Matnonios, deep down. He built a hidden place, as it were, Amukos, Vakalkolos, I forgot the exact notion of the Rambam. He built a place in the depths, and Yoshua HaMelech actually went, it was going in the place that Shlomo HaMelech built. And what is the Rambam telling this there? The Rambam is telling you because even in Bais Sheni, even though overtly there was no Aron, but the Aron was there covertly. Correct? No, the Aron was still there in Bais Sheni, because otherwise without that, there's no Mikdash. Mikdash without Aron, Ikar, Chaser, and Asefer. Mikdash and Aron are coterminous, are synonymous. They go together. And therefore in Bais Sheni, the Aron was Shalom and Kova. Where was it? Lamata. Bin Matmonios, deep down in the depths. But there was an Aron there with the Luchos. By the way, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that since the Gemara says in Megillah, oh, here we are, all the Megillah people, namely that the Beis HaKnesses is called the Mikdash Mat, in miniature, mini kind of Beis HaMikdash, so the halachas of the Beis HaKnesses also requires an Aron with the same Torah. Rav says so very clearly, that you have to build a Heichal, you put a same Torah, and a Sefer Ventura, which is not found in Beis HaKnesses, has no Aron, the Sefer Ventura has no Kedusha in Beis HaKnesses. The same Yisod. Because it's a Mikdash Mat. That's the puzzle of Yecheskel. You're familiar with that. Masechet Megillah. Doesn't Rabbi Fuchs teach Masechet Megillah to the whole yeshiva? No? Why not? He should. Because he actually is very, very familiar with Masechet Megillah. I'll just mention, I didn't realize what time it is as usual. This is just a little hakdama here, but there's a very famous yisod that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. His name is Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon Zatzal. Vilna Gaon was makbid that on Simchas Torah on the bima, no one should stand there b'shas hakafis. Why? They used to rope the bima in the days of the Gaon that no one could stand on the bima. The Gaon said, this is based on the Gemara at the end of Tainus. The Gemara points out, at the end of Tainus, you probably are familiar with this Gemara, I assume, that Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asa Machal at Tzadikim, Hashem is going to have a dance with the Tzadikim, and he's going to sit amongst them in Gan Eden, and each one is going to be Mar Be'etzba and say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh. You know the words there? V'zos HaTorah, people are the pinky squad. Today, it's amazing. I was actually Chutzar just recently. And I noticed that the pinky squad is increasing. Their numbers have trebled.
Is that good or bad?
I assume it's based on this Gemara in Masechet Tainis, or it's based on the Pasukim in the Meshalach. And whenever the term, the Gemara Menachos, might be based on that too. And whenever the term Zeh Zos, it's something that you could point to. The only mark I ever found for this was Yalkum Yam Lois. I found the Yalkum Yam Lois. I was looking for years and years prior to the Rav Google, And I went looking. I actually searched. Achapes is Yerushalayim Maneros. You know, the Gemara Pesachim. But anyway, so I went searching, and I found the Akhman boys, but I never saw any Gadol B'Yisrael do it. But today, the Pinky Squad has, shall we say, taken over. Okay, I don't think it's the end of the world, as someone told me. But anyway, the point of the Gadol was that, by the way, we in the Hatta HaResa that we say on Simchas Torah, we mentioned this pasuk that Tinei Elokeinu Zeh, Zeh means something you can point to, Kivinu Lo V'Yosheinu, Zeh Hashem, Kivinu Lo V'Yosheinu, Zeh Hashem, Kivinu Lo V'Yosheinu. To make a long story short, so we who go ahead, and we, how do we do our kofes around the bima? The Rav is very makbid to do our kofes around the bima, because the bima is likened to the mizbeach. It's supposed to go around the mizbeach. Also, when you go and you take the dalaminim, you can do it around the bima, around the mizbeach, etc. And who is in the middle of the bima? Who is, shall we say, resting there? Ribbono Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'emtza. He's on the bima. We're dancing around Hashem Yisbarach. So therefore, it's not covered for the Shechina that we should be on the bima when the Shechina is there at the same time. That was the Gaon. That was his position. Anyway, that's why during the 7 days of, I'll finish. During the 7 days of, I haven't spoken in a long time, so what can I do? I'm very long-winded, as you probably know. During the 7 days of Sukkot, what happens? We take a lulav and we are makif the Sefer Torah to show that we have to only through Shmir some mitzvahs, because what does Dalabinim represent? The mitzvahs. And we show that only through Shmir some mitzvahs can a person actually come to the tachlis of Limud HaTorah. And Torah and Hashem Yisbarach are all one. Certainly Al Pi HaKabbalah, you're familiar with it. It's actually a Rashi in Chumash, Rav Shech, they spoke about it. Moshe HaKadmeini, if you remember, he spoke about it maybe 2 weeks ago over here. Rashi Mishpatim, it's only the last week's parasha. Rashi Mishpatim, Moshe HaKadmeini, Hashem and His Chochma continue to be one, Nev Shechayim. Limud HaTorah is what? Hasogas HaLokus. You want to get a sense of what Hashem is, you have to learn Torah, and therefore you need Siyata Nishmaya. And whenever you have a circle, so all the points in the circle are in effect directed towards the middle of the circle. And that's the whole idea of our kofes that we do. A person is able to come to the Tachlis Shem Yemtza, which is the Sefer Torah. And of course, the HaKofes and Simchas Torah are a Hemshech of the HaKofes during the 7 days of Sukkot. And therefore, the whole idea is through Limud HaTorah we come to closer and closer to Hashem Yisbarach, because everything points to the middle, and the middle, of course, is that where Hashem Yisbarach is. And that's the Holy Soul, which is found in the Gemara Nida. I will end with this. Namely, the Gemara Nida says that prior to a person being born, what does the Malach do? The Malach teaches me, Kol HaTorah Kula. And then what happens is that the Malach comes and, correct? And as a result, why is that so? Says the Malach Tanya. Because every single Jew has an innate kind of proclivity and, shall we say, connection to Talmud Torah. It means there's an Ahava Tibbis. There's a natural kind of love that every Jew has for Torah. And only through Limud HaTorah can one come to Avas Hashem. Torah is the Chochmah of Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, what are we doing in the yeshiva over here? We're simply returning to our roots. It's there. It's anchored deeply. But we are simply going back to our roots and restoring that. And that's the yisod of the Parshas Truma, which is the yisod of the Aron HaKodesh. Luchas Eidos, Alabai, we should be Zecha, each one of us to become an Aron HaKodesh, a blazing, raging fire! Eish HaTorah! Because that's what B'nai Torah are, all of you, Tamil Chacham Mitz Hashem, you should become Tamil Chacham Muflogim! And Eish HaTorah should spread far and wide.